Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always a joy to see those of you who are here. I get a little nervous at about 20 till when no one's here, but you've come. And welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. Here are our announcements for the week. Monday, our food pantry volunteers are Shirley Gorman, Linda Morgan, and Mary Lett. Tuesday at 10 a.m., our Bible study will be watching Episode 2, Season 2 of The Chosen, right in here. We'd love to have you join us. Wednesday, 6:15, is soup supper and 7 o'clock worship over at St. Luke's, not Lutheran Church. Remember, it's not St. Luke's Lutheran Church that we're going to, but St. Luke's Episcopal Church. And we are assigned bread and rolls. So please join us over at the Episcopal Church Wednesday, 6:15, for supper, 7 for worship. Thursday at 1 p.m. right here, we have bell choir practice. And next Sunday at 2 p.m., we have our council meeting. And please remember, next Tuesday, daylight savings time begins. So you need to set those clocks forward an hour. If you're late, then you can join me over at Union Congregational for the 11 o'clock worship service. On the first Sunday of the month, we like to acknowledge our birthdays and our anniversaries. So our March birthdays are Ben Pearson, Dean Knauer, Linda Champlin, and Jean Baum. So let us pray for those individuals. Good and gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of these individuals, for the gift of life. We ask that you be with them during this coming year until the time comes around when they celebrate their next birthday, God willing, with us. Just give them strength for difficult times. Give them courage to face whatever is ahead. Give them joy in what they experience that is a blessing. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have March anniversaries as well. On the 12th, it is Mary and Rob McCorkle. On the 17th, Carol and Grant Dibdle. And on the 26th, Ann and Buck Gilbert. So let us join in prayer for them as well. Oh, good Lord, the giver of life and the giver of love, we ask that you bless these couples who will be celebrating their anniversaries this month. Be with them in good times and in bad, in difficult times and in joyous ones. We ask all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we have any other announcements?
I see that we are having a garage sale put on by the church for the council. And so I've been going through buying things at home. And we are, Bill and I are going to donate 2 long-time opinions to the caution. And those of you who are interested in things are very interested. And I'm going to donate this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Yes, we are planning a sort of garage sale at the end of April. Is that correct, Lois? And that the women will be meeting on the 15th of this month to plan that out. So start collecting whatever you would like to contribute to that sale. Is there anything else that they need to know right now, Lois, that you can think of? Ah, a special this month on coffee. Okay, so Sisters Blend in honor of Women's History Month. So please check out the coffee that we have. It is fair trade coffee, so you are doing a good thing by purchasing and drinking coffee. Anything else? If not, please join me in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who brings us safely through the sea, who gives us water from the rock, who leads us into the land of milk and honey. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, Have mercy on us for self-centered living and for failing to walk with humility and gentleness. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for longing to have what is not ours and for hearts that are not at rest with ourselves. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for misuse of human relationships and for unwillingness to see the image of God in others. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for jealousies that divide families and nations and for rivalries that create strife and warfare. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for reluctance in sharing the gifts of God and for carelessness with the fruits of creation. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for hurtful words that condemn and for angry deeds that harm. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for idleness in witnessing to Jesus Christ and for squandering the gifts of love and grace. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Through the Holy Spirit, God cleanses us and gives us the power to proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, number 779. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 12th chapter of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The word of the Lord. Let's read Psalm 121 responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep. Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time.
The second reading is from the 4th chapter of Romans. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who is without works, trust him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 3rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever walked into a meeting knowing exactly what you're going to say and exactly how this meeting is going to end, and it doesn't work out that way? I think that's what happened in our gospel reading. Nicodemus, we are told, is a leader of the Jews. And he comes to Jesus by night. Now, why does he come to Jesus by night? We're not told. He could have come up to Jesus any time as he was preaching and teaching during the daytime. But instead, he comes to him at night. Possibly because he doesn't want his fellow leaders to be aware that he's talking to this person from Nazareth. We hear that repeatedly, that no good can come out of Nazareth. He comes to him at night, and he starts this meeting out fairly well. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. So far, so good. He acknowledges who he is, that he is a teacher, and he comes from God, and that he does signs and wonders. He doesn't ask a question. Instead, Jesus responds. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus must be saying, "What? Where does that come from? Why are you telling me this? What does this mean? How does this have anything to do with the signs and wonders that I've observed you and heard about you performing?" He's understandably confused. As he engages in this conversation that it already is not going the way that he planned. For all that we know, he was planning to tell Jesus a few things. This is the right way to preach and teach. Maybe you need to be a little careful in what you say because there are some stirrings about you, some murmurings. Instead, he hears this. How is he supposed to interpret this? And he begins with the first illogical way to interpret it, by thinking that Jesus is talking about a physical birth. How can someone who has grown old return to his mother's womb? Of course, that's an impossibility. So he's trying to exclude that as a possibility. But of course you can't do that. You can't be born again from your mother's womb. And Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." So he's talking about a whole different kind of birth. He talks about the difference between flesh and spirit. And Nicodemus just does not understand. Jesus keeps saying, you need to be born from above. You need to be born new again. And this talk about water and spirit. And Nicodemus must become more and more puzzled because he says, how can these things be? How can one be born anew or born from above or born from spirit? What are you talking about, Jesus? And Jesus responds, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? Well, clearly he does not understand these things. Jesus then goes on to talk about the difference between what is flesh and what is spirit, what is earthly and what is heavenly, and how flesh begets flesh and spirit begets spirit. And I don't think that Nicodemus comes away any clearer on what has just happened. Jesus makes reference to something that happened as the people were wandering in the desert, as they were being afflicted by poisonous snakes. And so they raised up a serpent on a pole. We see that used in medicine today as an emblem. And those who looked upon that serpent on a pole were healed. And Jesus says, and the Son of Man will have to be lifted up too. And Nicodemus is so confused. What in the world are you talking about? You're talking about flesh, and now you're talking about spirit. Now you're talking about being lifted up. What does all this mean? And then Jesus confuses him even further by using a verse that if you've memorized nothing else, you probably memorized John 3:16, right? We could probably all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. And he continues with a verse that we sometimes fail to include. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Do you think Nicodemus really has a clue what Jesus is talking about? I don't think so. Because what he's saying just is so far removed from what Nicodemus knows. Nicodemus is quite aware of the law and the prophets and the writings. He could undoubtedly recite all sorts of things from Scripture, but he doesn't understand the Spirit of God. And that's what Jesus is trying to impart to him. The difference between having a head knowledge of things and having that heart knowledge that comes from the Spirit. And this conversation doesn't quite end here, so let me read the rest of this particular portion of Scripture. It says, those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. And here Nicodemus is, in the night, talking to this teacher who is trying to explain to him things that are just beyond his comprehension. In the Gospel of John, we see a lot about light and darkness. The darkness is a place of evil. The darkness is a place of confusion. And so it is not at all strange that Nicodemus comes into this conversation thinking it's going to go one way and leaving completely confused. Because he's come toward the light, but he has not accepted that light. Nicodemus appears only in the Gospel of John, and only three times in this particular passage, in a passage a few chapters later when they start asking why Jesus hasn't already been arrested because of his teachings. And Nicodemus stands up for Jesus and says, we need to hear what he has to say before we do anything about him. And we see him later on after Jesus' death, when he and Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body and place it in a tomb. And Nicodemus brings more than 70 pounds of spices to anoint the body of Jesus, an incredible amount for a royal burial, to the end not really understanding who Jesus was. And we have 20/20 hindsight. We know who Jesus is. We hear in the very beginning of the Gospel of John who Jesus is. Remember how the Gospel of John begins? It begins in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. When we look at our world today, do we see that the darkness is still there in the hearts of those who do not choose the light And do we see the light of Jesus, the light that is reflected in the hearts and the minds and the lives of believers? I don't know about you, but I want to follow that light because I find darkness a bit frightening. I want the light that shows me the path to eternal life. And the way that John defines eternal life is to have relationship with God. It is not just something for the future. It is something you can have here and now, to have a relationship with God. And I know I want that, because the world can be a dark and frightening place. And it's not so dark and frightening if I have the light. As I was driving here this morning, I was listening to the radio, and someone said, God never gives us more than we can handle. Have you heard that? Do you know where that shows up in the Bible? Any guesses? It doesn't. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Have you ever had more than you can handle? More than you can handle alone. And that is why I appreciate our hymn of the day, because it tells us that we are not alone. It tells us that as long as we cling to that one who is life and light, we're going to be okay. And that hymn is what a friend we have in Jesus. Let me read to you a little bit from this book called Then Sings My Soul, 150 of the World's Greatest Hymn Stories. It says, Joseph Scriven watched in shock as the body of his fiancée was pulled from the lake. Their wedding had been planned for the next day. Reeling from the tragedy, he made up his mind to immigrate to America. Packing up his belongings in Dublin, Ireland, he sailed for Canada, leaving his mother behind. He was about 25 years old. 10 years later, in 1855, he received word that his mother was facing a crisis. Joseph wrote this poem and sent it to her. Mrs. Scriven evidently gave a copy to a friend who had it published anonymously, and it quickly became a popular hymn, though no one knew who had written it. Meanwhile, Joseph fell in love again. The tragedy struck a second time when his bride, Eliza Catherine Roche, contracted tuberculosis and died in 1860 before their wedding could take place. To escape his sorrow, Joseph poured himself into ministry, doing charity work for the Plymouth Brethren and preaching among the Baptists. He lived a simple, obscure life in Port Hope, Canada, cutting firewood for widows, giving away his clothes and money to those in need. He was described as a man of short stature, with iron gray hair, a close-cropped beard, and light blue eyes that sparkled when he talked. Ira Sankey later wrote, until a short time before his death, it was not known that he had a poem gift. A neighbor sitting up with him in his illness happened upon a manuscript copy of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Reading it with great delight and questioning Mr. Scriven about it, he said that he had composed it for his mother to comfort her in a time of special sorrow, not intending that anyone should see it. Sometime later, when another Port Hope neighbor asked him if it was true that he had composed the hymn, his reply was, "The Lord and I did it between us." On October 10, 1896, Joseph became critically ill. In his delirium, he rose from his bed and staggered outdoors, where he fell into a small creek and drowned at age 66. His grave was arranged so that his feet were opposite those of his lost love, Eliza Catherine Roche, that at the resurrection they might arise facing one another. So let us join together in our hymn of the day, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 742. Thank you. and let us together confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. By God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. O God, you so love your church. Raise up leaders who care for your people. Bless lay theologians, seminary and college professors, and all who are called to the ministry of teaching, that they form and inspire us for the work of the gospel. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you so love your creation. Breathe new life into our planetary home. Guide the work of researchers, scientists, and activists who love your Earth and who inspire us to care for the natural world. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you so love the world. Uphold leaders who resist tyranny and oppression. Strengthen organizations that promote peace and harmony. Direct their work to alleviate human suffering and to address its root causes. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you so love your people. Draw near to all who live with mental illness, depression, or addiction, and accompany them in healing and recovery. Hear the cries of those who look to you in their distress, especially the people of Syria and Turkey. We pray also for the people of Ukraine. We pray for those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you so love your children. Bless the youth in our midst and delight us with your joy, wonder, and curiosity. Revive our ministries with children and youth and equip us all for faithful discipleship. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you so love your saints. As our ancestors in the faith have been a blessing to us, so inspire us by their example of holy living to be a blessing to those who come after us. And at this time, we especially remember the saints who are close to us, our family and friends.
merciful God, receive our prayer. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. Thank you for sending your offerings to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, "Create in Me a Clean Heart."